Okay. So, the most important word on the sign for this Musarvad was a word that we're very, very proud. A parent is always very proud, and a kollel will always take pride in its alumni. So the most important part, everyone knows who Rabbi Tendler is. And as he said, you don't need my picture, because everyone knows what I look like. But the most important piece of information is that Rabbi Tendler is an alumnus of the kollel. He was brought here originally for the kollel. After 1 year already, he was at U City Shul, but once you're part of the kollel, we're very proud to call you an alumnus of the kollel. So without further ado, Rabbi Tendler.
No, it's not that type of matzah. You can give me a hat. That's specific. Mamish doesn't stir. B'chol. All right, a good Nerv Shabbos cover. A good Nerv Shabbos. Let's go through a couple of enyanim, and then we'll bring the entire theme together. I don't know the general mahalach, the general style of the Musarvad. Maybe I need to come a little more often. But I don't know if does Eilim Gish go through a specific sefer? No, everybody just does. Okay, very good. So we'll touch on something that initially, specifically on this week's parasha, I came across that got the juices flowing from this sefer that I purchased recently, from Reb Naftali Heinemann. I think do they have it also? I think when Rabbi Heinemann's son, he comes around, he sold this set. He says incredible stuff on the parsha. So he says like this. He says on the pasuk, "Dabar al Aaron b'al bon of lemor zois teres achatos." Speak to Aaron and his son, saying, "This is the Torah of the chatos." Bimkaim. What's bimkaim? In the place, or does ya amayid no kain in the room? In kan kain. Yamayid Beryl Ben Shmerel. What? Well, then what do we say? Beryl Ben Shmerel? Bimkoim. Okay? Bimkoim, Ashad Yishachar Oyla. So Bimkoim, you could translate it in the place of or instead of. Instead of Ashad Yishachar Oyla, Tishachar Echatas. Instead of Shechting the Korban Oyla, you should Shech the Korban Chatas. Okay, so in context, it means Bimkoim in the same place on the northern side of the Mizbeach. We all know the Musar from that, right? To not make a person who brings a Karban Chatas sins unintentionally feel bad. So also a person who's coming Mitzad Ha'ilah, which could just be a Pashat Nidava, a simple pledge. You just want to come with Tveikas to come closer to Baruch Hashem. People don't know why you're there. So you have an Ha'ilah, you have a Chatas. That's the general Mahalich with the Bali Musar. Let the Bali Musar give over. But the word Bimkaim asks Rabbi Hanuman, means instead of. It also means instead of. So what's the message of using this unique word of instead of bring Laila, bring a chatas? See, he says, he asked Rabbi Breslauer in Monsi, and Rabbi Breslauer told him that the Satmar Rebbe asked this question, and he gives a fascinating answer. The Satmar Rebbe says that we know you bring a korban chatas for an action that happened inadvertently, something that happened an unintentional sin. In Ayla, generally brought as an adava, but an ayla is also brought when somebody, why would a person have a cheshek? So very often, it's an issue inside of us, inside of our minds, inside of the dveikas that drives a person. A person feels a lack of dveikas, so you want to bring something to fill that gap, and to have me feel closer to the Baruch Hashem. So it's brought down that an ayla could be brought for when a person has a machshava, has a thought about doing something wrong, And I had a wrong thought process. I want to wipe it out. I want to get rid of that thought process. So Satmar Rebbe says like this. He says, if somebody does an Avera B'shoigeg, L'chaira, it's likely that he had thoughts about the Avera initially, and he didn't wipe out those thoughts. When you don't wipe out the thoughts of doing an Avera, you can lead. It's like you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. So you're not going to call it a total accident, because sometimes it's our achrayas to not have put ourselves into that position. It's not on purpose either. But very often one thing leads to another. And once the needle in our head starts to move, it could keep going. It could keep going, and it doesn't necessarily stop. And therefore, as Satmar Rebbe says, Bimkaim, Asher Kishachet Ha'ila, Now, instead of bringing a carbon ayla, instead of that, where we could have nipped it in the bud and didn't let our needle of complete tevekas to Ribono Shel Olam move, in place of that, now the person's bringing a carbon chatas. Now the person's, why? Because I didn't stop. So the message of it taking place in the same location and of the Torah using the word bimkaim is to remind us that, yes, it was unintentional, but there's times where I need to think to myself, like, why? It's like, you know, a person goes, I leave to the airport 40 minutes before a flight. And then there's a long line at TSA. So what do you mean? Usually there's plenty of time, b'shkayach. Right? But they tell you to be there an hour before, 2 hours before, whatever the svar is. Pick your own number that you think is, you know, everybody's in I have a shalom bias problem with this. But I think you're not allowed to get married to somebody if you have the same mahalach in going to airports. Otherwise, like, it's a no-go. Now, one person, if you're sitting in the terminal for 1 minute, you got there too early. And for somebody else, there's no reason why you shouldn't be sitting there for 2 hours. Like, why not? Like, what's that's totally me. Like, just sit there. Well, who cares? At least you know you're through. But at what point at what point do you have a valid excuse? But you shouldn't have gotten to the valid excuse. You should have even gotten there. My Rebbe, not my Rosh Yeshiva, my first 3 years Beis Medrash, I learned Rav Nasan Stein's yeshiva. So I had a tkufa at a time where I was coming, basically coming by Barhu consistently. And I was in first year Beis Medrash, and Rav Nasan, he's like, nope, Menachem, what's up? You know, come on, you got to be by brachas. What's going on? So I gave him an excuse. It was a good excuse. It had a lot to do with my roommates, and we would have a good time, and it would get late. And I was like, Rebbe, I'm Amish, I want to, you know, but this is my itzah. So he tells me, he's like, okay. He's like, but I want to tell you something. You're either going to go through life living valid excuses, or you're going to live your life. And he, like, walked out. He goes, you're right, you got to be a valid excuse. Seder. The mice are going to come up to Ayil Mames. Come to Ayil Mames. There's 120. And I'm going to just have valid excuses why I didn't live the life that really would have been ideal. Because of this, because of that, because of this. So you're going to live your life full of valid, it's not like invalid, it's valid. In Hanami, you're right. Or, but Lamaisa, it's a reactive life. It's a valid excuse life. Very, very reactive, very dependent on everybody else. Or your mom is going to go ahead with it. And this is where the pasuk's leading us on, where it says, Bimkain. In place of it, you could have stopped it. You could have stopped. But we didn't. We let it go. It's valid. Now you have a valid excuse. It's unintentional avera. Notice that a yid should live a life where it's proactive, and we're in control. And our avodas Hashem and our dveikas d'Ribono Shel Olam should be something which is more proactive in this area. So continuing on this, there's a connect us to Shalom Bayis. It connects us to a lot of areas of life, right? I think where this led my mind to personally is that it's important to have a derech. It's important to have a path in order to not live a life of valid excuses as to priorities. Priorities. Very often, there's two priorities in a person's life, and they don't work well together, or they're a complete stira. And you don't need to balance it out, because balancing it out means you're lowering the priority. It's not a balance. There's a time and place for this priority and a time and place for a different priority. For example, you have the carbon shlum. Carbon shlum, so it brought shalom, it brings peace between the owner of the carbon, between the kayim, between the rabbi and the shalom. And it says, v'zayis tera zevach ha-shlum. This is the halacha of zevach ha-shlum. So on this, the Mishnah Uktzin, the end of Shas, the Mishnah says, Amar Reb Shimon Chalavta. It's famous because it's a pasuk. It's always geshmak to come across a Mishnah that's beferish, a Jewish singer. So Reb Shimon Chalavta says, Lamed Kosh Baruch Hu Kli Machzik Baruch Hu Yisrael Ela Shalom. The only thing that truly holds bracha for Klal Yisrael is Shalom. And the Medrash says about this, the Rashi says that the Korban Shlomim is because of the peace that it brings to the world. And the Medrash brings an interesting story with the Rav Shimon ben Chalafta, and I said this over in Shul B'Tim and Chamarev tonight, that Rav Shimon ben Chalafta was a Talmud of Rabbi HaKadosh. And he lived with his wife in tremendous poverty. One Erev Shabbos, Mamash had nothing. His wife says, there's no challah, there's no grape juice. He goes outside the city to daven. And while he's davening, a miracle happens. And according to one approach of the Maisa of the story, a large leg came down from Shamayim that was made out of gold. And he went, he sold the golden leg, had a lot of money. He comes home with the food. His wife says, where'd all the money come from? And Shimon Chalafta says, Ribbono Shel Olam sent it. And she says, well, go back, because when I come up to Shamayim, I don't want a three-legged table. Yeah, you just used up a table in Gan Eden. I don't want a three-legged table. And Rav Shimon Chalafta went to Rabbi HaKadosh, and he tells him, and Rabbi HaKadosh says, don't worry about it. You'll have a four-legged table. It's fine. Don't worry. You didn't use anything up. And Rav Shimon Chalafta goes home, and he tells his Rebbetzin what Rabbi HaKadosh says, and she refused to accept it. They refuse to accept. And she says, well, take me to Rebbe. Take me to Rebbe. So they go to Rebbe together. And Rebbe HaKadosh gives her avtacha. And she tells Rebbe HaKadosh, no, you will not be able to guarantee us a table in Olam Haba. I don't want a broken table. Give it back. And the Medrash ends off that with daichik, with difficulty, Rav Shimon Chalafta was able to find a way to get it back up, to get it back up to Shemayim. Okay, there's a lot of rage about, you know, what was his Rebbetzin thinking, but the Maisa, you know, what you see from over here is that Rebbe HaKadosh told him he's going to be fine, and his wife tells him no. It doesn't say that Rebbe HaKadosh ended up agreeing with her. Yeah. But he doesn't have. But Rav Shimon Chalafta didn't have to live with Rabbi HaKadosh. They weren't living in the same house. He was living in the house with his rabbi. That's where he was living. Right. So yeah, on one hand you have your rabbi tells you avtacha. He tells you you're doing the right thing. On the other hand, your wife says, "Give it back. I don't. It doesn't matter to me. Right? This is my concern." And what did he do? He ended up. He listened to his rabbi. He listened to his wife. And metaychat chak was difficult, but he found a way to get it back up to Shemayim. Now, what was he concerned about? So going back to what we said initially, Kenzan, you could say that what he was concerned about is this is something that's deep within his wife, something that was very meaningful to her. She was very passionate about them. For whatever reason, she didn't want to follow the haftacha that Rebbe was giving. And Rav Shimon Chalafta knew that he has a perfect priority in place within his household of keeping shalom with his wife. And if he would start to move the needle from that, it could keep moving. Like, ad heichan, until when? Until when? You start with this. You start with a little bit. You start with a valid excuse. And you have a better valid excuse. And you have a better valid excuse. And eventually, you come up as 120 with a bunch of valid excuses. And it kept moving over. Or maybe it becomes an invalid excuse. It could be it's not even an excuse. It just becomes normal to me. The way I attend minyan, the way that I attend shir, the way that I learn musar, the way that I live my life with vekas v'rabbanan shalom. I don't even chap anymore where I am in life. Pashut no chap. How'd it start? It starts by not keeping a strong focus on where I need to be, where I need to be in my avodas Hashem. And therefore, going back to what we said originally, there's more over here, but we're already up there. We're almost 14 minutes. So, bimkoyim. Bimkoyim means that a yid needs to look at themselves and say, where am I holding? Make a chashma. Where am I holding? Where am I holding in various areas of my avodas Hashem? Where does it sit? And then I have to think to myself, how did I get here? How did I get here? Did it come from a place of kedusha? Is that why I'm here? Gevalt. This is the derech. This is a beautiful thing. Or did it come from a place where I'm doing what I'm doing because I had valid excuses to be here? But maybe I need to rethink the mahalach that I'm on. Notice where we're at. Notice why we got there. See if our needle moved. And if it did, so then you move it back. It's no problem. It's good. You know, we catch ourselves. And you go back the way you were originally and you lock in on the shalom bias that Rav Shimon Chalafta was focusing on. As opposed to just going through life, going through various things and saying, well, I got here in a valid way. I got here with a valid excuse. And this is going to be the way that I have my avodas Hashem. It's always kedai to have a mahalach with ourselves and to take stock either every Thursday night. That's a good idea, according to other sfarim, every day. That would also be a good idea. But notice the trajectory that we're on. That's my message. I'm getting Shabbos Chavos.